when she's totally helpless, your reputation will be destroyed forever. Stop this. But that didn't work. He got philosophical. He said, death is inevitable for everyone. All of us, the soul, is transcendental. The soul is eternal, and it's taking one body to another body and another body. What are these bodies? They're just temporary little places that the soul, for a small amount of time, is residing. Just like a traveler is walking, he takes a step. And then his other foot goes in front. And then his previous foot comes off the ground and takes another step and another step and another step. In the same way, we're taking birth after birth after birth within this material world. The little worm is crawling from one leaf to another leaf. As soon as you go to one leaf, you have to give up the previous leaf. That's what birth and death is. It's inevitable. We're all going to die. The real question is, what do we do with our life? If you do this terrible, heinous deed, you will incur such dreadful karma. You will have to suffer so bad. It's better to live with dharma, to prepare for a good next life when the next step comes. He explained the nature of the transmigration of the soul. He explained the nature of karma. But Kamsa, he couldn't hear philosophy. He was too obsessed with protecting his selfish interests. At that time, Vasudev, he made a promise. Kamsa, you have no danger from your sister. The danger is from the eighth child. I promise you, every child that is born from Devaki, I will present to you. Kamsa knew that Vasudev would never, ever tell a lie. As cruel and wicked, as envious as he was, he could appreciate the truthfulness of Vasudev. He knew if he says this, he will do it. Under all circumstances. He freed them. Sounds auspicious. It's very auspicious. Because in this setting, Narada Muni came to visit Kamsa. Now, please understand, Narada Muni is one of the prominent acharyas of our sampradaya. He's the well-wisher of all living beings. Whatever he does is for the pleasure of Krishna. He wanted to accelerate Krishna's coming to this world out of compassion for all living beings. And he knew the inner truths of everything that was about to happen. So Narada Muni told Kamsa, you know, I was recently traveling around the universe and I heard the demigods. They were all, this is some time back, they were all going to take birth in the Yadu dynasty. And you know, the demigods, they're your enemies. And Vishnu promised them that he would be coming to take birth as the child of Vasudev and Devaki for the purpose of killing you. So I wouldn't trust any of those children. In fact, in your previous life, you were Kalanemi. And Vishnu killed you. And now he's going to come back as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki to kill you again. I just wanted to give you this information. And then Narada Muni Bhajayi Vinaradi Karamana Name, chanting the names of Krishna. He traveled again to another universe. Kamsa was outraged. Arrested Vasudeva and Devaki, put them in a dungeon, and had their legs shackled with chains. Actually, I'm going to go back a little. Before Narada Muni came, they actually had one child, Vasudeva and Devaki. And Vasudeva presented the child to Kamsa and said, "Here's my child, I promised." And Kamsa was so overwhelmed. He said, "Oh, you're so honest. Take this little boy back, this little baby, and raise him nicely. I'm only concerned with the eighth child." So Vasudeva was not really convinced, but he took him back. Then Narada Muni came. And then Kamsa shackled them in chains, put them in prison, and smashed the child against a rock to death. A second child was born. A third child. Six children were born in the prison house. Kamsa slaughtered to death each and every one of them. Now you may ask, why did Narada Muni do that? He understood who these six sons were. Long before, Marichi had six sons. And they criticized Lord Brahma. And obviously, they were very powerful people, very intellectual people, sons of Marichi. They thought they knew what was happening. They saw what appeared to them to be a transgression of Brahma. So they were critical toward him. The result is they would have to take birth and be killed by their own father. The sons of Marichi became the sons of Kalanemi. Then in another birth, they were the grandchildren of Hiranyakashipu. I think you all know who he is. Grandsons of Hiranyakashipu, they were very, very powerful people. They went out to perform tapasya to get blessings from Lord Brahma. That's what Hiranyakashipu did too. And Lord Brahma appeared to them. And they asked for the blessing that nobody could kill us. Hiranyakashipu was so envious. He was so arrogant. He could not tolerate the thought that his grandchildren went and approached Brahma without his permission. Of course, because of their benediction, they couldn't be killed by anyone created by Brahma, which includes Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu cursed them that you will be killed by your own father. Kalanemi will become Kamsa, and he will kill you in your next birth. So those six children of Devaki, they represent lust, anger, greed, envy, arrogance, and illusion. The six enemies of bhakti. And they are born of Marichi, who represents the mind. Devaki represents bhakti. Kamsa represents fear of the allurements of material nature. Devaki was afraid of Kamsa. And similarly, when a devotee has proper fear of material existence, in that state, we take shelter of Krishna. It doesn't mean we live in fear. It means we understand only Krishna can save us. Only Krishna can save our lives. Only Krishna can save our spiritual advancement. Only Krishna can save us from Maya. So Devaki, she was taking shelter of Krishna. The bhakta takes shelter of Krishna because the bhakta knows the power of Maya. Daivihishu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mama ivamye prabhadyante mayam etatarantite. And when we take shelter of Krishna, then these six enemies are destroyed. And then what happens? After six children were killed by Kamsa, Shankarshan, Lord Balaram, appeared within the womb of Devaki. When Balaram, who's none different than Krishna himself, his first expansion, entered into Devaki's womb, she became so happy. He's Balarama. Rama means one who gives everyone happiness. Balaram's the source of Mahavishnu. And now he's within the womb of Devaki. She's filled with bliss having this association. But at the same time, in her motherly spirit, she was so afraid Kamsa will kill him. It was at that time that Krishna, in the spiritual world, he called for Yogamaya. He told Yogamaya that it is my order to you to transfer the child Anantadev Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of his original mother, Rohini. And then I am going to personally enter into the womb of Devaki, and you should become the daughter of Yashodamayi, Brajeshwari, the queen of Vrindavan, the wife of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul Mahavan. Yogamaya, with folded palms, she said yes, and circumambulated Lord Krishna. Jiva Goswami explains the birth of Krishna according to Harivamsa and the realizations of the scriptures and the acharyas from another perspective. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they cite Jiva Goswami's explanation from the Gopal Champu. May I make some attempt to describe? going to go back a little. There was a great king of the Yadu dynasty. His name was Devamida. He married a Kshatriya wife and a Vaishya wife. From his Kshatriya wife, a child was born named Surasena. And he became the king of the Yadu dynasty in the Kshatriya race. From his Vaishya wife, Parjanya was born. He made his residence in Gokul, Mahavan. And he was the leader of the cowherd community. He had such divine, transcendental qualities. It is described by Jiva Goswami. He was the king of the gopas. He had pure, unalloyed love in every aspect of his life by worshipping Lord Vishnu. He was charitable and glorious as Prahlad Maharaj, as truthful as Dhruva Maharaj, as magnanimous as Prithu Maharaj. To his enemies, he was like Bhishma. To his friends, he was as magnanimous as Lord Shiva. He was as exalted as Brahma. And he had a beautiful effulgence of pure devotion. All the gopas wanted to follow him. Not because he wanted power or influence, but they just loved him. It was natural. He had 5 sons: Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sunanda, and Nandana. Of the 5, Nanda Maharaj was the middle son. He was most glorious. He was affectionate to everyone. He was perfectly gentle. Sumukha, a great cowherd man, his daughter was Yashoda. Arjanya arranged for, and Sumukha, they arranged for Yashoda and Nanda to be married. They became the life and soul of all of Gokul. After some days, Parjanya wanted to retire from his service and coronate his eldest son, Upananda, to be the king of Mahavan. The ceremony was taking place. Vasudev came, Gargamuni came, so many personalities of exalted character. And after Upananda was being coronated as king, Upananda stood up and performed the same coronation to his younger brother, Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was so humble, he just kind of withdrew. At that time, in front of everyone in the assembly, Upananda embraced Nanda Maharaj, crowned him as king, and he proclaimed to everyone, "I have done this with much thought. Nanda, my brother, is an ocean of virtues. My name, Upananda, means to be the assistant of Nanda. He has conquered everyone with his love. He's conquered me with his love. There is no one who could be a better fit servant than Nanda Maharaj. I will be his minister and assist him. When he said like this, the demigod showered flowers. Upananda, as the elder brother, was the assistant minister giving advice to Nanda Maharaj whenever Nanda Maharaj asked. But Nanda Maharaj always felt that I'm the service of Upananda. In fact, Nanda Maharaj was a loving servant to everyone. Under his rule in Gokul, what kind of rule? He wasn't making laws or exacting taxes. He was a cowherd man who had so much love in his heart that everyone simply wanted to follow whatever he wanted. That was Gokul. The Brijabasis were satisfied in every way, except one. That as years passed, Nanda and Yashoda had no child. They loved their leaders with such intimate, genuine affection that his happiness was their happiness. Yashoda Mai has no child. How could we be happy? That was the reciprocation. Nanda Maharaj was living for them. They were living for him. Upananda and the other cowherd men, they called the best of Brahmins to perform yajna after yajna to somehow or other induce a child to be born from Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. There were no child. It was at that time that Nanda Maharaj, he told Yashoda Mai that I had a dream. In this dream, there was a beautiful little baby. His complexion was like a blue lotus flower. His eyes were like beautiful blossomed lotus petals. His smile was enchanting the whole universe. He was playing. I saw this little child sitting on your lap, drinking the milk from your breast. Yashoda Mai said, I have been having the exact same dream, but I was too shy to tell anyone. Yashoda Mai said, actually, Nanda Maharaj said, to have a child like this, all these yajnas will never be successful. Because these yajnas are karmakanda. They bring heavenly desires. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, intimately, will give us the opportunity to have a child like we're seeing in our dream. Yashoda Mai said, in pure loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should perform the Dwadasi Vrata for one full year, which they did very carefully. After 1 year, Lord Narayan appeared simultaneously in a vision to Nanda and Yashoda. Narayan, he said, do not be troubled because the object of your parental love, the object of your heart's vision, will soon be your son. He's only waiting this time to increase your love. This child is born kalpa after kalpa as your son. Previously, you were Drona and Dara, Aditi and Kashyapa. This child will soon fulfill all of your desires. Both Nanda and Yashoda were filled with joy. Meanwhile, in Mathura, Krishna appeared within the mind of Vasudeva. From the mind of Vasudeva, he entered into his heart. From Vasudeva's heart, he was transferred to the heart of Devaki. Devaki became pregnant. She was filled with joy. The demigods, knowing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had now made his residence in the heart. Actually, let me go back a little. Because all these different versions, trying to harmonize them, sometimes takes a little patience. Rohini, when she was three, we're going back now. When Rohini Devi, who was a wife of Vasudeva, as well as Devaki, she was 3 months pregnant. At that time, so many of the Yadus were fleeing and hiding and going to different places because they could not tolerate the violent rule of Kamsa. They were going into different kingdoms, into different districts. Some of them were hiding in caves. And Vasudeva, to protect his wife Rohini, sent her to be under the care of his dearmost best friend, Nanda Maharaj, in Gokul Mahavan. She was secretly brought by horse. Balaram was in her womb, 3 months pregnant. There, as soon as Yashodamai met Rohini, they became inseparable friends. Meanwhile, Anantashesha is in the womb of Devaki. As the original guru, he came to the womb to prepare a suitable residence for his supreme master, Sri Krishna. Yogamaya, actually Harivamsa tells, when Rohini was 7 months pregnant, that means 4 months later, at midnight, she had a dream. In the dream, she had a miscarriage. Startled, she woke up and understood she actually did have a miscarriage. She was very aggrieved. But Yogamaya told her, Yogamaya spoke, that actually your son is being replaced by the son of Devaki, who I am transferring from her womb. It was at that time that through a breeze, Yogamaya brought Anantashesha from Devaki's womb into the womb of Rohini. Some of the acharyas tell that actually that child merged into the original Balaram, who was Rohini Nandan. It appeared that Devaki had a miscarriage, so Kamsa didn't take that too seriously. Meanwhile, after, I believe, Krishna entered in the womb of Devaki, and then little Balaram was born after 14 months of pregnancy for Rohini Devi. But Balaram seemed very dull and uninterested in anything. Now, when a little baby is like that, it's kind of worrisome. But Yashoda, Krishna, I'm going to get to that part. Going back a little. Balaram's 8 days older than Krishna. So Rohini Devi is pregnant with Balaram. And at that time, Yashoda Mai, she became pregnant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is an original form entered the heart of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda both experienced simultaneously how that child entered into the heart of Devaki. And just after Yogamaya entered into her womb, Purnamasi, Yogamaya personified, she entered into Vrindavan as an ascetic lady with a child. She told everyone when they came to greet her that her child was Madhu Mangal. And she said, very soon Yashoda Mai will have a child, and he will be the most glorious of all children. They were so happy to hear this. They said, please stay with us. We will make a nice little house out of leaves in the bank of the Yamuna for you. Purnamasi and Madhu Mangal resided on the banks of the Yamuna, just waiting. It was at that time that it was revealed that Yashoda Mai had a child within her. Balaram, born on the full moon, the only time he really was activated with happiness is when he was on the lap of Yashoda Mai, because he was so close to Krishna, just waiting for his arrival. And it was only 8 days later that Krishna appeared. How did he appear? In Mathura, he appeared in the prison house with four arms, holding the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and the club. Upon seeing the beautiful form of Lord Narayan illuminating the dark prison at midnight tonight, Vasudeva offered prayers, honoring him as the Supreme Personality of God. And Devaki, she offered her prayers. In her motherly love, she was so concerned. Kamsa has killed six of my children. If he sees you, he'll know that you are Vishnu himself, his enemy. And he may harm you. So please disguise this opulent form and become like a two-armed little baby child. At the exact same moment in Gokul Mahaban, Krishna took birth from Mother Yashoda. And Yogamaya, carrying out the instruction of the Lord, she was still in the womb of Yashoda, but in the form of a breeze, she brought little baby Krishna, Yashoda Nandan, to Mathura. And two-armed Gopal appeared in the prison house, and the four-armed Vishnu form merged into that. But just prior to this wonderful Leela, Vishnu told Vasudev, carry me across the Yamuna River and exchange me for the child daughter of Nanda and Yashoda. Little baby Krishna was lifted by Vasudev, and suddenly, miraculously, all the shackles that were on their legs fell off. The doors to the prison all opened. All the guards and everyone in Mathura fell fast asleep. It's the monsoon season. Torrents of rain were falling. Vasudev carried the little baby. Anantashesha appeared to be an umbrella over them. When they came to the Yamuna, it was flooding with whirlpools of water, and a passage was formed so Nanda Maharaj, without any inconvenience at all, could bring Krishna across. When he came to the maternity room of Yashoda Mai, there he saw a little tiny baby girl. Yogamaya was born. By her power, Yashoda Mai, she fell asleep and didn't know if she had a boy or a girl. And she didn't even remember giving birth to Krishna. Vasudev placed Krishna beside Yashoda and took Yogamaya back to Mathura. As soon as the little baby girl entered into the prison cell, she cried. The guards woke. They informed Kamsa. Without any formalities of waking up or anything like that, he immediately ran to the site and saw this little baby girl, infant child, in the arms, in the embrace of Devaki. Devaki cried pitifully, please don't harm my child. It's a girl. You have no danger from a girl. You've killed six of my children. I've had a miscarriage. I'm your sister. Give me the chance to be a mother, at least this one child. Crying and crying, begging for pity, Kamsa ruthlessly grabbed that child, pulled her out of Devaki's hand, lifted her to smash her against a rock. When he came down with this child with all of his force, the child slipped out of his hands and entered into the sky. She took the form of Durga with eight arms, riding on a lion, majestic, the queen of material existence. She looked down at Kamsa. You are a fool. Why are you so cruel to your sister, killing all her children? You do not know that the eighth child is already born somewhere else and will be the cause of your death. Now stop harassing your brother-in-law and sister. And she disappeared. Kamsa became quite sober. He begged forgiveness from Devaki and Vasudeva. I'm sorry, I'm so harsh with you. I killed all your children and tried to kill this one. Please forgive me. But actually, it's your own karma. I'm just the agency of destiny. Vasudeva and Devaki, from their hearts, they completely forgave him. Such Vaishnavas. This is the kind of people Krishna takes birth from. Srila Prabhupada explains that a name of Krishna is Vasudev. Because when we become like Vasudev, Krishna will take birth in our hearts. Janmashtami could happen at any moment, at every moment where Krishna appears within our hearts. When we develop this character of following the footsteps of the great souls. Vasudev released Devaki and Vasudev from prison. And they totally forgave him. Meanwhile, Yashodamai woke up. And there was a little boy that was just born from her. She looked at him. Her motherly love. Limitlessly flowed from her heart. He was just so lovable. So absolutely sweet, innocent, small, soft, and beautiful. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that all beautiful things in the entire creation are just a tiny, insignificant spark of His splendor. Now the fullness of the completeness of all beauty and beyond, fully manifesting, is in the form of this infant, little, tiny, baby child, Gopal. Yashoda Mai, with tears of motherly love, embraced that little child, fed the child her own milk, and as the child was drinking the nectar of her milk, that milk was the liquid form of her love. Krishna doesn't drink milk. He drinks love. When he steals butter from the gopis, it's the love of the gopis in which they make for him that he's tasting. But nothing could ever compare to the milk offered by Mother Yashoda. Rohini Devi, who had just given birth to Balaram 8 days prior, she was so happy. Yashoda Mai has given birth to a baby. Her and a few gopis who were assisting Yashoda Mai, they got an elderly Brahmin lady to give the news to Nanda Maharaj that his son is born. This Brahmin lady was so happy. She was filled with ananda, with bliss. Singing the glories of beautiful little Krishna, she went to the place where Nanda Maharaj, just as early in the morning now, tomorrow morning. This happened 5,000 years ago, tomorrow morning. Nanda Maharaj is with the cows, just about to milk them with the other gopas. This lady, she was so filled with happiness, she couldn't even speak. She was speechless. But somehow or other, in a poetic way, she said, Nanda Maharaj has become a father. When Nanda Maharaj heard this, his heart flooded with bliss. He said, all the cows who are about to be milked, donate to this lady for giving me this good news. It's a lot of cows, too. In his heart, he was giving so much charity everywhere. Meanwhile, when Vasudeva was back in Mathura, he knew that his little baby was actually in Gokul Mahabhan. He was giving charity in his mind everywhere. And Nanda Maharaj was actually giving. Nanda Maharaj went to take his bath, put on really good clothes, and with some of the other cowherd men, he was rushing to the place where Krishna was born. Such anticipation. Just try to imagine every step he was taking. How much he was longing and yearning to see his son. Not an ordinary son, because this little boy, Gopal, was attracting his heart with ever increasing supreme spiritual love. And when Nanda Maharaj came to the doorway, Rohini Devi closed the little curtain behind which was Yashoda Mai. Nanda Maharaj was waiting. Rohini Devi then took little baby Gopal from the lap of Yashoda and showed his transcendental, supreme, beautiful form to Nanda Maharaj. He was stunned. It was beyond what he could experience, seeing Krishna face to face. And little baby Gopal glancing upon Nanda Maharaj. His hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling. And then Purnamasi took little baby Krishna from the arms of Rohini and placed him on the lap of Nanda Maharaj. Rohini and other gopis then told Yashoda Mai that Krishna is now in the lap and in the embrace of Nanda. And she was stunned in ecstasy. Knowing how happy her beloved husband was. Should I continue? Nanda Maharaj called the Brahmins. The Brahmins started doing all sorts of yajnas and doing so many pujas to bless the little baby child. Soon the whole population of Sri Braj Bhumi was there to celebrate the birth of Krishna, Nandotsava. They offered an abhishek of bathing Krishna with the Pancha Kavya, the Pancha Marita. Nanda Maharaj was giving, in charity, he was giving thousands of cows, then tens and thousands, then hundreds and thousands, then millions. He gave over 2 million cows in charity. Not just in his mind, but for real. And he gave, especially, he would give to Brahmins. Why would he give to Brahmins? Because Brahmins at that time, sometimes now also, they were really Brahmins. Brahmins kept nothing for themselves. Whatever you gave a Brahmin, they would share with every type of member of society for their physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. It's like if you water the root of a tree, the water goes to every part of the tree. The root doesn't keep the water, the root distributes the water. Every flower, every twig, every branch, every leaf is nourished when you water the root of a tree. So similarly, a true Brahmin, when you give in charity to them, they don't keep it for themselves. That's not what roots do. They distribute. And they know how to distribute. For everybody's true well-being, socially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, ultimately. He made these giant mountains of sesame seeds that he was giving to Brahmins. From his treasury, he gave more precious jewels in quantity than the sesame seeds in the mountains. He distributed them. As they were bathing Krishna, the yajñas were being formed for the Brahmins, and so much charity was being given to everyone. The gopas and the gopis were all dressed in their very best of clothes because they were celebrating Krishna. Now, what does dressing nice have to do with it? Because the best of everything they had, they wanted to enliven each other to celebrate for the pleasure of the little baby Krishna, to bestow blessings upon Krishna. And in their happiness, they were dancing. Musicians were playing wonderful instruments. Poets were singing poetry, glorifying the child of Nanda. And gopis started throwing milk on each other. And the gopas were throwing milk on each other. And they started throwing yogurt at each other. And soon, everyone was completely white with milk and yogurt. It looked like the ocean of milk. They were all dancing, singing, in love. Total unity. What was their happiness? Nanda, Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, had a beautiful child. Vrindavan is a place where envy cannot exist. Everyone is a well-wisher of everyone. And this is a great message. If you take nothing else away from this class than this, please take this. Unless we become free of envy in this way, we cannot enter Vrindavan. Krishna will not manifest himself and take birth within our hearts. To truly be a well-wisher, to truly put Krishna in the center, is to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. They were all totally blissful because Krishna became the son of Yashoda. After the birth of Krishna and Nandotsava, the glorious festival to celebrate, Nanda Maharaj and Upananda, Abhinandan, and other leading gopas were discussing that Kamsa is very vicious, very cruel, very violent. And look what he's done to Vasudeva and Devaki. But Vasudeva is now free. If we don't pay our taxes on time, Kamsa will terrorize Brajbhumi. So Nanda Maharaj decided to go to Mathura just days after Krishna was born to protect Krishna by paying taxes to Kamsa. Because that's the way governments always are. You have to pacify them by giving taxes. And also he wanted to meet Vasudeva. Because he had such deep sympathy, he hadn't seen Vasudeva in years. So Nanda Maharaj and some others took a trip to Mathura. He paid his taxes to Kamsa and had an intimate special meeting with Vasudeva. Vasudeva told Nanda Maharaj, please go back soon. It's important that you take care of Krishna and Balaram. He didn't tell Nanda Maharaj that he's my child. He said, dangers may come. Please go back and protect him. Meanwhile, after Nanda Maharaj left, somewhat of a long walk to Vrindavan. Some of the ministers of Kamsa, due to their bad association, they told Kamsa, so many stories have put such fear in his heart. He put Vasudeva and Devaki back in prison. Because this child is born somewhere that's going to kill you. He gave an order. Every child that has been born in the last 10 days must be murdered. And he deputed many of the asuras to do this. Especially one rakshasi of the name Putana. Putana traveled around for these days, killing thousands and thousands of newborn babies. She would eat their flesh and drink their blood. There was nothing left. She had such incredible mystic prowess. She came to Nanda and Yashoda's house, disguised in such a wonderful, beautiful form. People thought she was the goddess of fortune. Or some demigoddess. How can anyone so beautiful be here? And she came right into the room where your little baby Krishna was. And she picked up Krishna. And everyone was thinking that Krishna's being blessed by this guest. They had so much faith in her because of the way she looked. Krishna took little baby Gopal to feed the milk from her breast. And everyone watched. What they didn't know is she had covered her breast with deadly poison. When Krishna saw her, he could recognize she was like a sharp, deadly sword in a very nice decorated case. And she looked at Krishna, who was then a tiny infant, only days old. She thought, this little child is death personified. But still, she was intent on killing him. Krishna sucked her. First, he sucked out all the poison. And then, somehow or other, because Krishna was so beautiful and so sweet, she developed some motherly affection for this little boy, and milk actually came out. And Krishna kept sucking. It was becoming very painful. He began to suck out her very life. And she tried to pull Krishna off of her. But Krishna just held on, kept sucking. She ran out of the house. She ran into the pasture ground and assumed a form 12 miles high. And she was screaming. Now you and me scream. Can you imagine a person, a Rakshasi, 12 miles in size, screaming? Child, leave me, child, leave me, with all of her strength, with her massive hands. And Krishna didn't grow. He was just a little tiny baby, just sucking. And just to increase the experience as he was sucking with his tiny, tiny little soft fingers, he squeezed her. And that was causing her unbearable pain. But she couldn't get him off. Krishna sucked and sucked and sucked out her very life, and she screamed, fell to the ground, caused an earthquake. By Krishna's own inconceivable yogamaya potency, as she was running, she ran to a favorite forest of Kamsa, where he would get so many nice fruits. And when she fell, she broke Kamsa's heart. The little baby Krishna was on her body, just crawling around, smiling. And the gopas and the gopis came running. And there they found little Krishna. They offered pujas to protect Krishna from further dangers. Nanda, Maharaj, Yashoda, Rani, they were thinking, our innocent little baby Krishna, he's so pure. It must be due to our pious deeds. Or it must be because Krishna is so innocent and helpless that Lord Vishnu personally killed this Rakshasi Putana. When Nanda Maharaj returned from Mathura, on his way he saw Putana's body laying there. And when he heard what happened, that's when they did all these little pujas to Krishna. And they burned Putana's body. And when they burned it, it smelled nectarine, aromatic fragrance, intoxicating. Now, usually a dead body doesn't smell sweet. But because Krishna touched her body, it became completely transcendental. Putana, her immortal soul, attained the supreme liberation. She attained the liberation of going to Goloka Vrindavan, to be a nurse with motherly love to assist Yashodamai in her loving service to Krishna for the rest of eternity. This is Krishna. She was so ruthless. She had the worst possible karma, killing tens and thousands of innocent children. And her only purpose of coming to Gokul was to murder Krishna. But when Krishna sucked out her poison and sucked out her life, he removed all of her anartas, all of her material desires, all of her ego, all of her evil. And at the last moment, she felt the pleasure of a mother for a child. So Krishna awarded her the liberation of being his mother in this spiritual world for the rest of eternity. This is Krishna. Since there's no prasad today, when Krishna was just about 3 months old, he just started to lean up. He just started to actually lean. And that was so auspicious. There was a wonderful festival. It's called Uttana, which when the child first starts getting up, can't crawl yet, but he's just starting to get up. And the ceremony was so jubilantly performed. There was yajnas, there was kirtans, there was poems being composed, and everyone was celebrating throughout Brajbhumi. Yashoda Mai, after the Abhishek for Krishna, she saw that Krishna seemed very sleepy. So she laid him under a wooden cart. It was a very big cart, and it had so many different types of utensils and wares that were being stored. And Yashoda Mai went to perform her seva of greeting various guests. Nobody knew that there was a ghostly asura that Kamsa had sent to kill Krishna in the form of that cart. The intention, that cart was going to fall on Krishna and crush him. Little baby Krishna knew everything. His feet were so small. And they were as soft as anything could be soft. Like the tender surface of a lotus petal. Little baby Krishna, when nobody was around, except some of the children were watching, little children, Gopal, he just kicked the wheel of the cart. Not even a kick, just touched it with his lotus foot. As soon as he touched it, the wheel flew off the axle, broke, and the entire cart fell to the ground, and everything was scattering everywhere. It made a tumultuous sound. Everyone came running. And they saw this giant wooden cart in so many pieces and everything that's fallen off it. And right in the middle is little baby Krishna, completely unharmed, smiling. The Brijabhasis, how did this happen? What happened? And the little tiny children watching, they said, we saw what happened. Little Gopal kicked the wheel and it fell down. The Brijabhasis said, how are we to believe this? The cart is so big and Krishna is so tiny. We cannot listen to little children. But at the same time, we don't understand. What kind of asura? And the fact is, it was an asura sent by Kamsa. Krishna liberated him. This must be the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Usually whenever these demons were killed by Krishna, whenever they saw Krishna in danger, the cowherd men, Hinabai Nanda Maharaj, they would build bridges, they would dig wells, they would plant trees, they would do yajnas, they would sprinkle Krishna with cow dung and cow urine and swish him with cow tails and chant mantras for Krishna's protection. It was so obvious who Krishna was. We all know who Krishna was. Why couldn't they understand who Krishna was? Krishna is the source of Vishnu. Krishna is the source of Brahma. Krishna is the source of Shiva. Krishna is the source of the entire universe. Aham Saravasya Prabhava Mata Saravam Parvartate. Krishna is the source of all spiritual and material worlds. We all know this. Why the Brijabasis couldn't know this? They knew it. They knew it, but their love for Krishna was so intimate, and Krishna wanted to be their friend, their child, their lover. Madhurya Dham. Vrindavan is the place where the love between God and the devotees is the sweetest of the sweet. Just to increase the happiness of their love for each other and the intense sweetness of that love, Krishna covers his supremacy by his sweetness, by his playfulness. Krishna is only our child. Sakatasura symbolizes, represents this tendency we have to carry the burden of our past bad habits. That's an obstacle to our spiritual progress. This is a strong tendency. Samskaras, these impressions that are put in our minds. In the Vedic civilization, the Vaishnav tradition, at every stage of a child's life, we want to nourish them with the best impressions. Beginning within the womb, we read about Prahlad Maharaj. Just by hearing about Krishna in the womb, he fell in love with Krishna. Garbhodhan Samskara. The very conception is begun when the parents are in the highest and purest possible state of God consciousness. And then there are various samskaras within the womb. It's a tradition in Vaishnav culture when a mother is pregnant. Before the child is born, the mother hears every verse and purport of the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Just a few days ago, I received a message from one devotee lady and her husband, and they just gave birth to a child. And just before he was born, she just finished the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And she finished a little early, so she was reading Krishna book out loud, so that she was in the frame of mind and the child was hearing. Samskara, to give those impressions. And then the birth ceremony, so many beautiful ways to try to keep the child in the most sattvic setting wherein they could receive Krishna bhakti. Srila Prabhupada explains when he was a little boy, from his earliest childhood, every day, early in the morning, he would witness his mother and father offering aarti to their family deity of Radha Govinda. And every day, every evening actually, they would invite sadhus. And they would cook wonderful feast of prasad for the sadhus. They would, after the sadhus were completely satisfied, Gaur Mohan Day and his good wife, Prabhupada's mother and father, they would ask the sadhus, please bless our little son Abhay, that he will be a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. That was the only thing they asked for in return. Srila Prabhupada, I was hearing a beautiful talk that was recorded. He said that from my earliest childhood, my father would always tell me that when Krishna wants to take away from you, he takes with 10 hands. And you only have 2 hands to hold it. And when Krishna wants to give to you, he gives with 10 hands. And you only have 2 hands to receive it. He said, I was born and raised listening to that message. And then later in my life, I met my Guru Maharaj. That was in 1922. He said, my Guru Maharaj, he told me that I should take the message of Lord Chaitanya, of pure devotion to Krishna, to the whole world in the English language. I made that order my life and soul. But I was already married and I already had a child. So Prabhupada, he had Ayurvedic pharmacy. And he was thinking, I will build up my business to earn so much money that I could facilitate my Guru Maharaj and my God brothers to spread this mission all over the world. But at a certain time, his whole business collapsed. He was cheated by the people he trusted most. And he had nothing. He went to Vrindavan. And he prepared for his guru's mission in another way. He translated and wrote purports to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he left Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains on Jaladuta 38 days. He came to New York eventually. And he said, I was wandering in the ghettos of New York as a beggar. I had no friend, no supporters, and no means whatsoever. He said, I was wandering about like a vagabond. And I remembered my father. When Krishna wants to take away, he takes with 10 hands. But ultimately, whatever he does is perfect and good for everyone. We may not perceive it with our eyes. And he said, and now, this lecture was in 1976. Srila Prabhupada had printing presses, millions of Bhagavad Gitas being distributed, Srimad Bhagavatams, Nectar of Devotions, Ishopanishads. He had over 100 temples. He had tens and thousands of followers. Srila Prabhupada said, and just like my father said, now he's giving with 10 hands, and I... We only have 2 to receive it. So these bad habits that we have carried from the past to samskaras. Srila Prabhupada's telling how his parents invoked within him his devotion to Krishna. Of course, we understand Srila Prabhupada descended from the spiritual world, but the lesson is there in his life. when Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, when did you first develop your love for Krishna? Srila Prabhupada replied that love of Krishna is in everyone's heart. And everyone can awaken their love of Krishna. Nitya siddha Krishna prema satya kabunoi saravanadi sudhijite koriye yudvai. Love for Krishna is dormant within the heart of every living being. By associating with those who love Krishna and chanting the holy names of the Lord, that love is awakened. Prabhupada said to the reporter, you have love for Krishna, just chant the holy names, it will be awakened. Everyone in the world has that potential. Anandam budivardhanam pratipatam punam ritasvadhanam. That's the happiness that every living being is longing for, to taste that love that's within us. To taste Krishna's infinite love. The reporter said, yes, I understand that, but still, when do you first remember having this love for Krishna? And Prabhupada explained Lord Chaitanya's mission and his how Lord Chaitanya, through Sankirtan, through in the nature of Krishna's name, can awaken this love. And the reporter said, yes, I understand, but still, when do you remember that you first had this love for Krishna? Prabhupada said, around 5 or 6 years old. Just to end the question. He was always feeling this love for Krishna. And Krishna Book, which was Srila Prabhupada's summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes all these beautiful pastimes of Krishna's life in this world. Srila Prabhupada dedicated Krishna Book to his father, Gaur Mohan Day. He said,